Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you once again on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, to give me the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I want to welcome all of you that are listening to the broadcast from all over the world. Welcome, welcome, welcome in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to give you this phone number, which is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, hey, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we were given to you. Praise be to God. So, without further ado, for those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, once again, you know how we do this. And for those of you who are first-time listeners, hey, this is what we do. We open up with prayer, give an invitation to the Lord's Spirit to be with us, amen, before we do any preaching or teaching. So, wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us petition the Lord together, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, once again today, we want to thank you, Lord God. We want to thank you for blessing us to assemble together once again in the Word of God. We want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to petition you once again. And we petition you at this hour that your Spirit will be with us. Lord God, let your Spirit release unto us the light that we stand in need of. So therefore, Lord, we dare not go into your Word without you being with us. So therefore, Lord, don't let us take this journey in your Word and not get something out of it. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we will give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. The message tonight is they who cause fornication. They who cause fornication. And when I'm talking about fornication, I'm talking about both sides, the literal and the figurative side. And the word of the Lord to those of you that are listening who may have gotten caught up or in a situation where it's leading to this, be careful of anyone leading you to fornication. I want to say this again. Be careful of anyone that is leading you to fornication, whether it is literal fornication, okay, whether they're trying to entice you to fornicate, or whether it is figurative fornication, which is dealing with idolatry, where they're trying to get you to join other organizations that are ungodly for you to perform duties unto that organization that you were only performing to God. You understand what I'm saying? It's just like two married people, a man and a woman, okay? Adultery is a form of fornication, okay? So if they go outside the marriage and do with another one of the opposite sex what they only supposed to normally do with their wife, then that's wrong and that's fornication, okay? Or if it's two people that's not married and engages in something that God has only ordained to be legal in marriage, that is fornication, okay? Hallelujah. Particularly, get this, and I want you to hear this closely, those who claim to be saved or even in, quote, the church. Be careful of them leading you to fornication. I want to go to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 21. The second book of Chronicles, chapter 21. And this is very important because some of you who are listening, under the sound of my voice, come in and encounter, and on this part I want to deal with especially some who claim to be in the ministry, who has been leading you to fornication. Whether you are a woman that's listening to this broadcast and maybe one that is considered or calling himself a pastor has been trying to entice you to have that kind of sexual relationship with him. And perhaps he's married, perhaps he's not. Amen. But you have to be very careful not to let anyone, I don't care if he claims to be a pastor, lead you into fornication, or perhaps that there was someone who's trying to lead you to join an organization that is not of God, to have you dedicated to it, whether it's a sorority or a fraternity or the Masonic or any kind of organization that's ungodly, trying to entice you to join. Be very careful. I want to start off talking about those who are operating in the spirit of Jehoram. In the spirit of Jehoram. This is why we're looking at the second book of Chronicles, chapter 21. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. Now, we know Jehoshaphat was a servant of the Lord. In fact, he was the one that whenever their enemies was coming against them, getting ready to come and take them out, Jehoshaphat called for prayer and fasting. And he got a word from the Lord. And God set ambushments for his enemy that he didn't have to put a hand on them. And the Bible says in verse 1 that Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, I want to talk to you about be careful of the Jehorams, okay? The Jehorams. Some of these Jehorams are leaders who are children of servants, just like the Jehoram here was the child of a servant of God named Jehoshaphat, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible tells us in verse 3, and their father, which is Jehoshaphat, because he had more than one son than Jehoram, and their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Some of these Jehorans who is trying to lead you into fornication, whether it's literal fornication or figurative of spiritual fornication, some of them have been given special rights or privileges, for example, such as taking over leadership role of their fathers in the church, like Jehoram. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe it's a pastor that took over for his dad, and his dad is passed on, like Jehoshaphat passed on, and he gave the kingdom to Jehoram. He did not give the kingdom to his other sons. The Bible said he gave them great gifts of silver, gold, precious things, fenced cities in Judah, but the kingdom he gave to Jehoram. And some of y'all are encountering some of these Jehorams in the church. Some of them are pastors. Amen. Leaders who took over for passed on, now that they're being the son, because remember the Bible says here that Jehoram was the firstborn. And you know, the firstborn back in that culture, in that time, got the rights and privileges and got privileges because of being firstborn, and even judiciary leadership in the home of the from the father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. I sense the Holy Ghost. Verse 4 tells us that when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself, okay? And he did something else. He slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. Wow. These Jehorams, who have gone forth to make a name for themselves and made their presence strong in the church, to be seen, have killed many of their brethren with the words of their mouth. I sense the Holy Ghost. The book of Psalms speak as figuratively swords, because here Jehoram slew his brother with the sword. And sword can figuratively represent the tongue or the words of the mouth. And you're listening to some of these Jehorams put down their brethren, killing them with the words of their mouth, talking them and downing them so they may be lifted up and be, quote, strong in the eyes of the people. Beware of these Jehorans. Beware of these Jehorans. I sense the Holy Ghost behind it. I sense the Spirit of the Lord strong behind it. Somebody that's listening know what I'm talking about. You're wondering, say, why is Pastor, man, he just saying some bad stuff about so, and you see the countenance of the brethren just drop, because pastor is talking about them so bad and putting them down so bad. Why? Because pastor don't want them to be seen over him. Oh, glory to God. Beware of the Jehovahs who tried to lead you to fornication. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible tells us in verse 5 and 6 that Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And the Bible says he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. Now, you remember Ahab from Jezebel and Ahab, okay? He didn't walk in the ways of his dad before him, walking in the ways to pleasing God. For he had a daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Some of you that is listening and come across this Jehoram, you knew his dad, and you knew his dad was a man of God, but now you're looking at him and say, man, what happened to him? His dad was walking in the ways of God, and you believe and saw that he was a true man of God. But now that Jehoram has taken over, you start wondering, what happened? What happened? And some of these Jehorams have joined themselves to evil households that have influenced even the furthermore to them to walk contrary to God. You've been watching the Jehoram in the church, and he's just been joining up to whoever that you know is not right in the sight of God, that ain't thinking about being right, that worshiping other gods. He's joining up to them. And you wonder, what is pastor doing? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible tells us in verse 7 that even though this would happen, the Lord wouldn't destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, because he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. And now some of you are wondering, said, this stuff that pastor's doing, this stuff that this Jehoram is doing, and you wonder why something ain't happened, because it's of the mercy of God and the promise that he made to his father before time, that he's showing grace and mercy, that perhaps this Jehoram would turn and repent. Verse 8 and 9 say, in his days, the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. Did Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him, and he rose up by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him in, and the captains of the chariots. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. You're looking and seeing now in the church, as this Jehovah has gone forth to do these things that are not right in the sight of God, now you're starting to see people revolt from under his leadership. And they're going off and starting even their own churches. The Bible said that the Edomites revolt from Judah and went and made themselves a king. And now you're seeing that people are revolting from under his leadership. Hallelujah. And they're going forth and they are appointing leaders. They're going off, quote, starting their own churches. Hallelujah. This revolt, even as Libnah revolted for under the hand of Jehovah, the Bible said this came about because of him forsaking God. Oh, yes, the pastor is telling you that this stuff is happening because it's part of a trial that he's going through. Some things are part of trials, and some things happen to you because you have opened the door to it. Now, I want you to understand that this Jehoram that you have come across that's trying to lead you the wrong way, this revolt that has come from under his hand, is because he has forsaken the Lord, his God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Beware the Jehorams who would try to cause you to fornicate. Some of you know what I'm saying, because they already been talking at you, trying to get to do that thing that is it has become uncomfortable in your spirit. And you're saying to yourself, do a pastor supposed to be telling me stuff like this? You know, Dr. Frederick Price's wife, I call her Mother Betty Price, wrote a book called Ministers, Their Wives, and Their Mistresses. And in that book, she told a story about this woman who was involved, quote, with this bishop of the church. And this bishop was married. And she was committing adultery with this bishop. Now, this bishop had, quote, like a stronghold over her. Even when she got to the point at one time and asked him, said, do you think this right? We shouldn't be doing this. And this bishop going to turn around and say, come on, God wants you to be a good girl. Be a good girl. Do you hear that? I have to be honest with y'all. When I first read and heard that, that kind of homework, that just about made me boil. Because he's taking advantage of her. Hallelujah. And now, this Jehoram. Some of you who have encountered this, you didn't want to talk about it. You didn't want to share it to nobody because in your heart you say, I don't want to cause no trouble. But I'm here to tell you that this thing is not of God. Hallelujah. And that Jehoram that's trying to lead you to fornication, whether it's trying to get you, whether he's trying to get you to join another organization that's not of God to serve it, or whether he's trying to get you to go to literal fornication, is not of God. Deidre Haddon, many of y'all know him, and he needs prayer. He's standing up in a leadership position, gospel singer. Many people looking up to him. When he came out and said, he don't see nowhere in the scripture where it's wrong to shack. And use example of him and I guess the woman he's married to now, how they shacked up. Let me tell you what he was doing. He was leading you to fornication. And from what I understand, if I'm right about this, and if I'm not wrong about this, I think that the woman got before he married her. Okay, but nevertheless, you're telling people, now there are a lot of people that looked up to him. So you can imagine when he came out to say, well, I ain't seen nowhere in the Bible where God speaks against shacking. You can imagine those that looked up to him say, hey, did you say he ain't seen nowhere in the Bible? It must not be in there. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? And so now they're thinking, well, hey, if I like somebody, we can live together. We strong enough. We Christians. We ain't going to do nothing. Listen, you don't tempt God like that. You don't go put yourself personally in, purposely in harm's way. Call yourself, well, I'm just going to be strong in the Lord. Listen, if you shacking with somebody, living in the same house together, talking about y'all going to get married and y'all living together as boyfriend, girlfriend. Let me tell you something. The flesh is the flesh. Let's get real with this. The flesh is the flesh. And that means that you can do all you talking about. Well, we try to avoid one another and be in separate rooms and all like that. There is going to be a slip up where either she see you naked or you see her naked. And the flesh is the flesh. Now, I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm being straight up with you. You watch these Jehorams that tell you there ain't nothing wrong with shacking. When you come to them, say, hey, listen, I want to know, Pastor, you know, I've been liking this guy, and we're going to eventually get married, and we was thinking about, you know, trying out just living together. What do you think? Well, I don't see nowhere in the Bible where it's against that. You watch that. Because it's going to lead you straight out to fornication. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. The Bible said in verse 11 that moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused, get this, caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compelled Judah thereto. Wow. Compelling Judah. Caused the people in Jerusalem to commit fornication, and now he's trying to go out there and influence others to do it. That's what these Jehovahs are doing. Causing the people within that congregation to commit fornication, and now they're going out trying to compel others to do it also. You better be watchful of that Jehovah. Hallelujah. That the Spirit of the Lord is just witnessing to me about this. And I don't know who's listening to this broadcast, but you needed to hear this. Because you're caught up in between saying, Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it right? Is it wrong? I don't know. And you start feeling uncomfortable in your spirit. Well, that's the reason why. Because the Holy Ghost was letting you know this thing is wrong. Some of you looking at it, but wait a minute, that's a pastor. A pastor can be wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I want to read a few more verses to tell you why this warning is coming to you. Because if you don't heed this warning and watch those Jehorams, and you go into it because that's my pastor, or they're popular in your eyes. You know, some people are doing stuff because people are popular in their eyes. Let me read to you what's going to happen. And I know some of you don't want to hear this because some of you in the body of Christ is telling, you know, people like me and others, say, hey, don't tell them about the judgment of God. Don't do that. Why not? Why should we not warn them? Why should we not tell the truth? We can't let them think that, oh, you go on and sin, everything's going to be hunky-dory. You just running around. There's a price to pay. Verse 12 said, and there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the ways of the king of Israel, and have made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also have slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague, with the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods. Do you see that? That's judgment. These Jehorams is going to get a word, a true word from God. Whether it come through a prophet, whether it come through another child of God, they're getting ready to get a true word of God. And if you are involved in something like that, that they've tried to get you involved in with fornication, there's a price to pay. And the word of God said, a great plague, will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy good. So all that's connected to this Jehoram is going to get hit with a curse of judgment. So you can go ahead and join along with him if you want to. Whether you are a man of God, where this Jehoram is leading you to this woman or that woman, or leading you to try to join an organization that's not of God, or whether you are a woman whom this Jehoram been saying enticing words to you, getting you to go to bed with him, and you're liking it, guess what? There's going to be a price to pay. I'm here to tell you, hallelujah. It ain't going to be bed of roses like you thinking, and the devil is fooling you. God said there's going to come a judgment. Verse 15, he said, and thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowel. Wow. Until thy bowel fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines, now the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah and brake into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also and his wives, so that there was never a son left him, say Jehoahaz, the youngest of his son. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in the process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of the sickness. So he died of sore diseases. And his people made no burning for him like the burning of his father. See, even your substance, even the substance of this Jehoram is going to be cursed. The enemy is just going to take his stuff. You know, the word of God said the judgment is going to be more bitter against leaders. See, it's bad enough when the children of God are doing it to one another, but when you got someone in leadership leading you to fornicate, that's real bad, according to the eyes of God. Because God said, I put you in the leadership here. They following you. Following you as you follow me. That's what it's supposed to be. But see, you leading them down the wrong path. Amen. I'm telling you, a curse is coming if you don't repent. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of the Lord. You know, since I've been doing this tonight, I just sense the Holy Ghost just witnessing to me strong. Like I said, I don't know who you are that's listening to this. You needed to hear this because you are involved in a situation with a Jehovah. Whether you're sleeping with him or whether he's been leading you to commit fornication. And you know, fornication also involves homosexuality, even though it's under the title uncleanness. Homosexuality is a fornication. So some of you men may be led by the Jehovah to commit homosexuality acts. Or maybe some of these Jehovahs are telling you there's nothing wrong with a man going with a man and a woman with a woman. Do you know that you got more of these so-called leaders are doing that now? They're telling people that. In fact, many of these so-called leaders are living that life themselves. And now they are coming out bold and say, hey, they're living as a homosexual and they don't plan to change. Well, guess what? If you get caught up in accepting that lie that they're telling that it's okay, the judgment's going to hit you too. Hallelujah. Now, some of you may say, hey, now, brother, wait a minute. Now, you're just coming out too strong with this, man. You being a judgment. No, I'm not judging you. I'm giving you the word of God. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things say the Son of God, who have his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like the brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, there are this message, too, and dealing with they who cause fornication. There are some of you in the leadership that have allowed a Jezebel. Now, from what I understand on my study, this Jezebel is different, is not the same Jezebel that was married to Ahab. But from what we read here, she did bad enough. You have allowed a Jezebel spirit to come among the congregation. And this Jezebel spirit has been coming among the congregation quite a bit. Amen. Calling herself fellowshipping with y'all. And God wants you to know that he has a few things against you. And he said, because you suffered her to do something. God said, in other words, instead of you exercising your authority, commanding that spirit to go, amen, you have let this Jezebel come in among the congregation to teach and to seduce his servants to commit fornication. This Jezebel carries a strong spirit of seduction. Amen. She has a seducing spirit on her. And some of you that is in the ministry, you saw it. You saw it, but you ignored it. Because some of you got caught up in it yourself. Some of you, under the sound of my voice, you saw it. And you was looking at her, and you said, man, you said, it's something up with her. And you saw she had a seducing spirit. But you still suffer her to get up and to teach. You thought she was going to teach the word of God? No. In fact, she have come to you, and the Bible says here that she called herself a prophetess. In other words, God said, I didn't call her a prophetess. She's calling herself a prophetess. Amen. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to say this, and I ain't trying to offend nobody or be judging. I got to be straight up honest. I have seen on social media, and I'm not saying every last single one of them are, but I've seen quite a few of them that are, have come on and called themselves a prophetess, and I see the seducing spirit on them. Amen. Such a way and showing their breasts at the same time on the videos. Now, I'm just being straight up with you. A strong seducing spirit. I was looking at a lady the other day that I saw for the first time, calling herself a prophetess, and on the video, you see in her breast. I'm talking about her breast. Here's the thing. You see in her breast, and you like, what is the purpose of that? Well, the purpose of that is a seducing spirit. This Jezebel here that God mentions here in Revelation 2, she had a seducing spirit. And figuratively, I'm speaking to those of you in the ministry who have suffered this Jezebel congregation to teach and to operate in that seducing spirit, as she has seduced many to commit fornication. Why you think that some of the men in the congregation is so taken by her? You think because it's just the seducing spirit that's on her, that's part of it. But guess what? You ready for this? Some of them have slept with her. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Shalabashata. See, there's a couple ways that Satan joins people. For example, an ungodly soul bond. There's a couple ways he does it. He joins people. Number one, it's either through emotionally or through sexually. And some of you leaders are seeing some of these men taken by her. They're not just joining her emotionally. Some of them are joined to her sexually. Now you having problems out of some of these men because now they're rising up against you because of her. Well, as Frederick Price would say, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God said, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. See, God is dealing with this Jezebel spirit that you allow to come in the congregation. Yes, God is dealing with it. He's talking to her and said, repent. He said, but she won't. Now watch this. Verse 22, he said, behold, I will cast her into a bed. King James Version said that means sick bed. And them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. You're going to see those who were connected to her and involved with her. Here's the word. If they don't repent, tribulation is going to come upon you. Like I said once before, some trials and tribulation, it just come about for the testing of your faith. But there are others that come about because of the door you open by sin, because of what or who you're connected to. Just like here in the United States, in many states, you know, there's what you call accessory. And you can be hanging out with Billy Joe, and Billy Joe may be a big-time thief. And he's riding in a car with you, okay? And Billy Joe decided to tell you, say, hey, stop here at the store right here. You stop there, because you and Billy Joe are good friends, y'all buddies, slap high five every time y'all meet one another. And Billy Joe just ride around with you every time. But this time, And the thing about it, you know some things about Billy Joe. So Billy Joe says, stop at the store. You stop at the store in the parking lot. You're sitting there waiting for Billy Joe to go and give him something to eat. All of a sudden, Billy Joe comes running out, looking in a frantic, left to right, and then running toward the car. And you see he got a load of stuff in his hand, and you see something shining in his hand. And he gets to the car door, open the door, and say, okay, take off, take off. And you looking, what, take off. And all of a sudden, here comes the SWAT team surrounding. And guess who's in trouble? Billy Joe, yeah, and guess who else? You too. Okay? So there are some things that can hit you because of who you're connected with. And for those of you who are connected to this Jezebel spirit, becoming involved with her, what has she been leading you to do, to be connected to things that are not of God, to serve it? That's fornication. Or what has she been having you literally fornicating? Guess what? If you don't repent and turn away from that, you're finna catch tribulation like you haven't seen before. Our God is getting tired of his name being made a mockery And you look at the way the churches are going today. It's becoming more and more of a mockery. Amen. Mocking the things of God. The body of Christ, when we come together, is supposed to be a place where those who need healing can be healed, where they can find truth and truthfulness there, not a breeding ground to pick up men and women. You know, that's what some people tell you. You know, some people have made it just their goal. The reason why they go to church service is to pick up a man or a woman. They don't even tell you, say, hey, you want to find you a good man or a good woman, go to church. Or what are they putting? They put in where your mind would be only on that. You looking for a husband or a wife, you're going to church. It's not about looking for God. You're looking for a husband or a wife. And they tell you, you want to find a good woman, a good man, go to church. Amen. My Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, hallelujah. So, God wants you to be watched for a day who causes fornication. Amen. And like I said, there's leaders in the church who's okay in it. Like I said, they're going around, they're telling people, hey, ain't nothing wrong with y'all living together, you know. Y'all going to get married in the Lord, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. Y'all going to be husband and wife. Amen. And that's what they're saying. But I'm telling you, if you listen to that and follow that, you're going to suffer something. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something about that, too. You know, some people think, for example, they think about if you go on a series of dates or just date the person for a year or two, you get to know them, you're going to know all about them, blah, 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 and you're going to get married to them. Let me tell you something. Let me click my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Hey, brother, God bless you. How you doing tonight?
Blessing the Lord. How you doing, brother?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. We still locked down up here in Chicago, and I heard that pretty soon you guys are going to have to shelter in down there, too. So
brother,
I decided to give you a call.
He already passed it yesterday, brother. The governor passed it, shelter at home law order, which starts tomorrow at 5 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
And plus, the job I work at, they just decided to completely shut it down for, they say, for 2 weeks starting this Monday. So,
wow.
Because they broke us down from 40 to 32 hours to 24 hours. So they did all they could to make it stretch. But once the governor passed that yesterday, and once, say, one guy on our job tested positive for coronavirus, and another guy they sent home today because he was throwing up things like that, I guess the combination of all that made them go ahead and just say, hey, we're just going to shut the doors for the 2 weeks. So
not Hunter.
Oh, yeah, Hunter. Hunter Engineering. Hunter Engineering. Yeah. Yes, sir. Hunter tried to,
well,
they tried to stretch that thing as far as they could. Trust me. But
well,
when the people you send products to in other states telling you don't send us nothing or we ain't sending nothing out, that's your money. So you can't make no money because you can't send none nowhere, you know. So
right,
yeah,
right. Oh, okay, I understand. I just called in to listen, and I did have a question. So,
go ahead, bro.
I mean, the topic tonight is something that we discussed in the past, and I've actually had calls for from people who have listened in and called in to talk about the whole, you know, relationship thing, the fornication thing, the marriage thing. It's just couples in general. They want us to talk about it more. So I never got a chance, or I didn't get around to doing more broadcasts about it. So I decided to call in with my question. and just kind of help you out, or, you know, kind of be on the broadcast
right.
with you.
Yes. Right. Okay. Okay. Well, what's your question, brother?
Well, the question was presented to me, and basically, it's kind of, the church is kind of looked at as being hypocritical, not mm-hmm. wanting to fully address the elephant in the room, which is, if a man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing, right? So that's mm-hmm. the scripture that a lot of people put out there. And please forgive me, I don't know if you covered this scripture on the broadcast. I just started listening probably about 10 minutes ago, and I was trying
right.
to catch the rest of it.
Right.
But people have a problem with it because they feel like the church isn't being real truthful. Like, you say, you know, the women shouldn't be looking for a husband, but you got men who are in church who are not really looking for wives. They're just looking
mm-hmm.
for mistresses, or they're looking
mm-hmm.
just to get, you know, as they say, quote unquote, laid, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so the question is, what are people supposed to do in the meantime? And the answer that we've been giving, which is still the answer, is seek the Lord, wait on the Lord, and if it's his will, you will have someone. If not, but we never cover the if not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we say keep praying and seeking and reading God's word, and let God's will be done in your life, and your husband will come. We don't say, if it's not God's will for you to have a husband or a wife, this is what you do. You do X, Y, and Z. We
mm-hmm.
always give them the, hey, just be patient and trust God, and your husband will come, or your wife will come. But we never give them the alternative scenario. Well, what if my wife never comes? What if it isn't God's will for my life to have a husband? We sort of lead them on with this false hope, which then leads into people, it leads into people aggressively pursuing something that maybe never should have been theirs in the first place. You get what I'm saying? So
right,
because
right.
we never really truly address that other side, that maybe you won't have a husband.
Right.
And maybe you won't meet a wife, but then we bombarded with questions with, well, God said that it's not good for man to be alone, and that's why he created Eve. So in these real times and this life today, what are people supposed to do with that other side? People who have been waiting and waiting and waiting, they've been praying, they've been seeking the Lord, and they still don't have a mate. What are they supposed
mm-hmm.
to do? And so
mm-hmm.
because we never really address that or talk about that in depth and in length,
mm-hmm.
those are the questions that tend to pop up.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, the first thing that one should do, whether it's man or woman, start off with an honest heart to say, Lord, is it your will for me to be married? That's the first thing you need to get out of the way, okay? Because sometimes God have a particular role or a special work for particular people to do, okay?
Right.
Now,
mm-hmm.
that's the first thing. And notice I say with an honest heart. Because remember, we always say, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Really?
Right.
Do
we mean
it? Really?
Right.
Do we mean that?
Right.
Because it's
right.
easy to say it and not mean it. He said, with
right.
your lips you honor me, but your heart is far from me. So it's easy to
mm-hmm.
say, let the will of the Lord be done, not my will, but thy will be done, and really not mean it in your heart. So that's the first thing. Do you really mean this? Do you really want to know, Lord, is your will? Because, see, what happens is, brother, sometimes or many times with many people, it's more about what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. It's more about what they want. It's not about what God wants. Yes, they say whatever the Lord will be. They say that with their mouth. But their heart is not there. That's the first thing. Number two, in your petition or make a request, let's say you find that God said, yes, I have a mate for you. Here's number two, brother. Number two, you got to look at what work does God have to do on me? Because understand this, he's not going to just, boom, connect y'all together. One of the reasons why he ain't just connect you right then, because he's doing the work on you and the person, okay? Because sometimes we want to bring excess baggage from a past relationship into the relationship. So if the last young lady you went with was all after the money, you come across this one lady, she asks you for a dime, you already ready to hit her the nine. Okay? Because you like you just like the rest of the women. No, you got a problem. You ain't delivered. I understand that last woman took you for some money. But that don't mean that this will be like, so that's the other thing. Okay? The other thing right there. That's why even tonight, the title of this is They Who Cause Fornication. I was dealing with the Jehorams and the Jezebels who have come into church and they're leading many to fornicate. For example, I gave an example. I'm not trying to knock him, but he needs prayer. Deidre Haddon. I hadn't seen nowhere in the scripture where it speaks against shacking. And then he gives an example of him and his the woman he with, I guess he married now, how they live together. Do you know what? Let's get real about this, brother. You just go and live it with a woman. I don't care if you're talking about, well, she's in one room and I'm in another. There's going to be a slip-up, brother, because she might come out the shower or you might come out in the shower. Y'all going to see one another nakedness. There's your flesh. I'm just being straight with you. I ain't trying to be vulgar. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be vulgar. Okay? And God did not tell us to put ourselves in harm's way because you're tempting God. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. See, people take fornication light, brother. That's the other problem. They talk about how strong they are. I'm strong. I'm strong. Then you're going to run around and start visiting strip clubs. Come on now. Let's get real.
Or watching porn.
I'm watching porn. Talk about I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, what you're doing is you giving the devil a heyday to laugh at you and call you a fool. Because why? Once your flesh get a hold of that, your flesh becomes stronger than what you think. Can I get real with it? Amen. So, praise to God. So, these Jehorah. So, you got people out there, they say, well, you know, I just been waiting on my wife, know my husband a long time, and all that. Brother, I guarantee you, if you were to deal with some of them people, like I dealt with one lady on a job I used to work at before, she was talking about she was waiting on her husband, God sent her a husband. Brother, you know what I did? I looked at her. This woman had one foul mouth. She was flirting with whatever man she said, and talking about I'm waiting on my husband. What honest, good man God going to send your way? Okay? What do you want her for? So you can destroy her? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, people be saying that.
Yeah.
But then they don't look at, okay, has the Lord tell me I'm there to now step into the place to receive my mate? Because he got to work on you. He got to work on you. But you're thinking that you're ready. Okay?
Yeah.
Here's the other thing, brother, that gets people.
Mm-hmm.
Gets people about this and that gets people about the blessings of the Lord, period. Number one, you don't have a time frame. In other words, God didn't tell you, oh, okay, I'm going to send you your husband and your wife in 30 days. See, we look for numbers. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what we look for. Right. We want God to say, look, November the 10th, 2022, your husband is coming. That's what we want. We don't want no God said your husband coming soon. Notice what he says about himself, about Jesus coming. He used the words, what, soon, right? He don't give you a number.
Right.
He uses the word soon, okay? Sometimes in place of numbers, he used the word few or many. We want numbers. That's what we want. So when we don't get the number,
right,
we start getting impatient. Oh, Lord, I've been waiting. Now, guess what? We're going to give God a number. Lord, I've been waiting this 16 months, Lord God, and you ain't sent them yet. We get a number, and we want a number from God. But see, here's the thing, brother. When you put out your petition and you become wrapped up in Christ, you don't become impatient. And then you in a position to receive the mate. But see, when your focus more on the mate, you become impatient. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You become impatient.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Our sister Holy Ghost. Man, I tell you. And the way I met And see, I tell you, like when I met my wife, brother, God takes you through a certain sequence, a series of different things. He gives you so much at a time, leading you up to the point, right? Okay.
Right.
I met my wife in 1995. In the year 1994, Sister Coffee, Brother Coffee's wife, the same year she died, she tells me, she said, Brother Nate, I saw your wife in a dream, but I didn't know her. Now, God had her to plant that seed right there. She died before she even got to see me, which was the next year. The next year, I met my wife at a revival. Brother, I didn't know I was going to be her at a revival. God just gave me a word that he had a mate for me, but I didn't know I was going to meet her at a revival. And that's where I met her at a revival. Now, here's the other side of that. In 1993, when I became impatient waiting on a mate, I went to the devil. I went to a psychic. And the psychic said, yeah, you're going to get married. And started telling me all kinds of stuff. Same time, we're putting the curse on me. And brother, you talking about curses from that day until I repented. I had demons hold me down on the couch. I had demons holding my back down on the floor. I had demons when I had to crawl to my bedroom and put my hand on the Bible. I had demons talking to me in the wee hours of the morning behind the back of my head. I had all that stuff going on. Why? Because I opened the door to the devil because of my impatience and waiting on the mate. And God told me, brother, about 20-something years later, that through that, the devil had a woman for me. But because I repent, that thing was blocked. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's very important, brother. See, people think when you're talking about waiting on the Lord that you're just passing words over. No, I'm not passing words over. I'm telling you how critical it is. I'm telling you how critical. Because you remember that movie, who was that, Martin Lawrence, what is it, Thin Line Between Love and Hate? Okay. When he started messing with that woman, look who he got, okay? he thought he was just going to fool around with her and drop her. Oh, no, buddy. None of that. She was that, if I can't have you, I'm going to serve you up. That's what that was right there, okay? So I tell people that, hey, is it a test? Sure, it's a test. But if you believe God to be faithful, first off, if you got in your spirit that God said, hey, yes, I got it made for you, that's the first and foremost thing you want to get out of the way, okay? That's the first and foremost thing. So if it don't come in your timing, either you thinking God lied or something is wrong, okay? That's where you think it come in at. Now, do we all go through a period of impatience? Sure we do. We all have faith. We all have God. Oh, Lord, you told me this 9 years ago. What happened? All of us have a petition that Lord at some point of time like that. And God comes around to give you assurance. Hallelujah. Be careful, people, of those who lead you to fornication. Be careful of the Jehorams and the Jezebels. Be watchful. Be watchful of these seduction spirits. These spirits are running rampant more and more in the church. The Bible said that this Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2 called herself a prophetess. And like I said, brother, I'm not saying all of them, but I see some that call themselves a prophetess have that spirit of seduction on them. When they start speaking to you on the TV, you see their breath. Well, I'm just being honest. I got to be straight with you. And you be like, wait a minute now. What's the purpose of the purpose of it is the spirit of seduction. I'm going to get you to listen to me, and I'm going to give you a little help in listening to me, if you know what I mean. I'm going to put it forth out there before your eyes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for you, brother. Brother, if you would offer us a final word and prayer before we get ready to close off the broadcast.
You know, I sure will. I just want to say that this subject needs quite a bit of time to uncover and peel back, you know, more layers because, you know, just like we spoke about the young ladies in the pulpit and so-called prophetess, we also need to talk about the men, the ministers who target and tend to.
I did that, brother, already tonight. That's on the broad. That's the Jehovah. I did that first. I did that first while I came to the Jezebel.
Okay.
That's what the ones I told you is called the Jehoram. They got a Jehoram spirit found in 2 Chronicles chapter 21.
Okay. Yeah, I know. It's just been such a call for more of this type of talk. I just don't. You know, I think we just kind of do a little bit and then we go on to something else. But I think I'm going to do something over the next maybe two broadcasts that I do that will kind of handle this topic.
It actually kind of came to me a little bit too the other day, brother, about this part, this right here. I just did a little bit tonight, but actually the works of the flesh, this was one of them. So it has actually, you know, it came to me about a couple of days about doing on this, you know, a little bit more on this right here. So,
yeah,
I get what you're saying.
Okay, bro. Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to offer up this prayer for all those who are suffering from the COVID-19.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we thank you. We come before thy throne,
Lord,
of grace humbly,
yes, Lord,
being very thankful, and we honor you and we give you glory and praise for everything that you've been doing in our lives, Lord. How you've been,
Lord,
holding back the angel of death and this COVID-19 situation, and how, because of the prayers of your righteous ones, of your little ones, you've been showing mercy upon this land, Lord. And we ask that right now you comfort those who have lost someone because of COVID-19, the coronavirus, Lord.
Yes,
whether,
Lord,
they've lost a coworker or a family member, Lord, a loved one, someone close to them, we ask that you provide comfort to them and give them peace in the midst of this storm. And, Lord, we ask that you continue to protect us and to keep us safe and to hold back the enemy, the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We ask that you send angels, loose angels, to encamp around about your people, that the blood of Jesus would cover every door, windowsill, every crack and crevice of every home, Lord, just like in the days of Moses, when they had to put the lamb's blood upon the door.
Yes, Lord.
But we know who the lamb is in our lives,
yes,
the sacrificial lamb. It's the Lord God, Jesus Christ, strong and mighty,
Lord,
mighty in battle. And he shed his blood 2,000 years ago so that we may have life, and that life more abundantly. And so, Lord, we ask you to preserve us, to keep us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, thank
name
you for the broadcast. Thank you for the brother. We ask you protect the brother and his family and all those on Blog Talk Radio and our listeners.
Yes, sir.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In the name of
Jesus. Amen.
Praise God. Thank God for you, brother, joining tonight. We thank God for you and what God has been blessing you to do. And may he continue to bless your family and your loved ones in Jesus' name. And may his hand continue to be over you as he has been. I want to say, for those of you that are listening, don't forget, Lord, say the same tomorrow night, Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. Praise be to God. So, thank God for all of you that have been listening. This is Brother Nate and Brother Emmanuel Murphy had joined me. Another God's Word of Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.